All right, welcome to another episode of the Strain Forward Podcast. This is episode two, podcast two, second time ever doing this. Like I said in my last episode, guys, if it is terrible audio or videography, or if I'm just trash at this, please be gentle with me, okay? Today, we're going to interview my best friend. His name is Mike. We've been best friends since freshman year in college. We're now 31, so it's been... Gosh, what is that? 12, 13 years, something like that?
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a long time. And to start to kick this thing off, I want to start with a little icebreaker that ChatGPT prompted for me.
Oh, dude.
So, here's the question. You ready?
Yeah.
I might take this off, too, so I can hear you better. Here's the question. If you had to choose between having sex again... or never eating again, which would you choose?
Oh man, that's never having sex again or never eating again.
Yeah, you gotta choose one. I mean, if you never eat again, you die. So
yeah, I definitely am eating, bro. I mean, like the other, you know that, but
yeah. But, now that I'm thinking about it, that's actually a terrible question. There's like no choice. There's no choice there.
Yeah, I mean, obviously. We like both, but I mean, I salivate at food just like a lot of other things, but I like to eat.
That's what I'm saying. Okay, all right. That's an easy one. ChatGPT did a terrible job. We'll do another one later. Okay, so for you guys today listening, I want Mike to kind of go through his story relatively briefly, but we really want to highlight his military experience. So for those of you who don't know, Mike is in the military, the Army to be specific, and I really want him to kind of talk us through what that experience was like, because not a lot of people go into the military, period, and a lot of people who do go into it drop out, if I'm not mistaken, because it's just not for them. So I want to highlight that and talk about how he's grown as a person through being in the military. So, Mike, I'm not sure where you want to start with that. But take it away, dude. Like, what? I'll start with a question. So, what prompted you to want to join the military?
Me and you didn't go to the NFL, dude. You know, nah, dude, that's easy, bro. Yeah. And don't let me forget. I want to hand back on, like, because if you know, people see this and whatnot, like that, like, big advocate of like words mean things or whatever. Yeah. Like drop out. I just want to hit back on that. Yeah, dude, we graduated, we finished college, got our degrees, and you know me, man, like, I was never going to sit behind a desk.
Oh, 100%, no way.
It just wasn't going to happen.
yeah.
So, dude, I don't know, man, I just, I did that year between, before I joined, and once I finally finished up at Western, and, I remember finding myself at a recruiter's office one day, just kind of like randomly walked in there, you know? It's funny enough, I don't know if I've ever told you this. I walked into an Air Force office to start and I was in there for about 0.5 seconds and they said, you know, cause there's stipulations when you join the military, and like paperwork you might have to do if you have like certain things going on, medical, whatever. And at the time, if you remember, because of my ADHD, I was prescribed and I was on, you know, medication, Adderall, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Long story short, I'm in this Air Force office and that's one of the first, cause I guess it's a big deal, right? And then it's one of the first questions they ask, like, hey, are you prescribing medication, whatnot? And I said, yeah, you know, I have ADHD and I take Adderall. And they're like, they basically look at me and they're like, all right, well, stop taking it and come back in 6 months. And I was like, what? All right.
Really?
Lo and behold, now, like, you know, I've been in several years and like I know that they could have, you know, done a waiver for me, but hey, that's a story for another day. So right next door was a right next door was an Army recruiter's office. So bro, I don't know. I just walked in and
so you walked out of the Air Force office and walked into the Army office.
And so same thing, bro. I'm in there. They asked me one or two questions. Like that third or fourth question was, are you prescribed anything? And I said, yeah, Adderall, you know, ADHD. And they go, no, you're not. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm not. You know,
no way.
That went, bro. Yeah.
Let's go.
So Yeah, bro. I don't know, dude. I just, you know my father more than most people.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I wanted to do after college, bro. We didn't put that thought into it, you know, going in.
Not at all, dude. I didn't think about it.
Just didn't have that, you know, originally not even knowing if I was going to go to college until football panned out. And when we got out, I didn't put no thought into what I wanted to do. So I found myself in the recruiter's office. I remember going back to, you know, that same Army recruiter, you know, a few days later. And then, like, calling my father, actually talking to him. I was like, hey, Pops, like, what you think? I think this might be a good thing for me. And just see how it goes. And that's kind of like the short story, you know. And I went with it. They told me kind of like what jobs I would qualify for. You have to take what's known as the ASVAB, you know, like a skills test, kind of like an SAT for the military is how I kind of put it. And once you do that, it qualifies you for jobs or whatever. So I'll pick mine. And, you know, a few months later, that's all she wrote, bro. We were gone. We were off to basic training, you know.
Yeah, that's
scared, dude. You know, not scared, but like nervous, excited, anxious. You see, we watch all the movies growing up. You see all this stuff. You don't know what to – you think you know what to expect, kind of, but you don't. Luckily for me, man, there's a lot that goes into it. But luckily for me, like, I had been out of the house, you know. I was 24 when I joined. So it wasn't as much of a shock for me. Had a little bit of life experience. And also, again, I had my father making me take 2-minute showers with a dime of soap since I was, what, like, I don't know, 4 years old, 5 years old.
No, so,
like,
he
first night in basic training, bro, boot camp, they said, get in, get out. And, like, they tell you that first night, first few days, like, they tell you what to wash. Like, you get in the shower, right. They're like, all right, put the soap on your head. Put the soap on your feet. You know, they're trying to break you down to build you up, like, get you disciplined. Listen, when I, like, that's how, like, structured they try to make it. Like, what part of your body can you wash? And, like, they're watching you do it. And I remember, like, I was one of, out of, in my platoon, you know, you got several platoons or whatever that make up what's known as a battalion. Anyways, I had probably, we had, like, 40 people in my platoon. I was, like, one of three people that got out of the shower without soap on me.
So you were the only one that, like, successfully did it?
Like, one of the few, yeah. Like, I got in, boom, 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 boom. You know, maybe I just didn't wash myself good enough, but I knew what was coming, you know, like I was not playing. I don't, you know, I'm getting this soap, you know, out of the cracks and crevices, but,
out of the cracks and crevices is crazy, bro.
But yeah, man, it was good. You know, I've been in just over 7 years now. You know, I know we've talked about that and, it's been good, man. It's definitely a life experience. I think whether you join the military or not, or it's something like for people, right? Like, for anybody watching or anybody who's thought about it, whatever it may be, or don't know where they want to go in life, just doing something as simple as basic. Well, I say simple, right? And that's subjective, relative to you, you know, whatever. Yeah. I think everybody could benefit from going through basic training. Hmm. And I'm not even talking, man, from like that, what we would call in the military is like that hua hua, like really Army, you know, America focus, laser, boom, right? It's like, yeah. I say that because, like, you genuinely do learn a lot about yourself and the whole cliche of, like, becoming comfortable being uncomfortable.
Oh, I can't imagine.
And it's not just physical, you know? It's like, dude, like, things like, there was one day, you know, they would come up in my, where my, like, quarters were, where my bunks were, where we slept. It's called a bay or whatever. Anyways, it was on the third floor of this building. And, like, randomly, they would come in, like, get all the stuff off your out of your wall locker. Everybody had, like, a wall locker. They would say, take everything out. Get your rucks. Get your duffel bags. Fill them up. Get all the way down to your linen and your pillow on your bunk. Figure it out. Get it in your bags. Bring it downstairs right now outside. Lay it all out. Boom, boom, boom. Everybody in your, you know, 40-man front had to lay it out the exact same way. It's called dress right dress. And as soon as the last person would, like, do it and like, or lay the last thing out, put their boots in the right spot. All right, go ahead, clean it up, take it back upstairs. Bro.
Just to mess with you.
Just infuriating, dude.
Dang. And how long would like a process like that take? Was it like a fast process or did you have to do it super quick or like what did?
Yeah. I mean, well, yeah, like they're on you, you know, like yelling at you to do it, whether you do it quick or not. Looking back now, like, it was going to take as long as it took. in the moment, though, you're like, oh, shoot, boom, 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 boom. Like, I got to get this done. I got to get this done. Like, I'm not trying to be the one with that dude in my neck just like, you know?
Right.
But it was good, man. Basic training is really good. You really do find yourself, and not just, and again, not just physically, you know, it's like, it's a lot of this, a lot of that cognitive mind state, like that cycle, it's psychological warfare, dude.
Yeah.
And the drill sergeants in the Army, they're called drill sergeants, and the Marines, I believe they're called like the drill instructors, right? Air Force, so on and so forth. That's their job, man. They know what they're doing. You know what I'm saying? Like they know for those 10, 12, 16 weeks, like that's their sole purpose, is just to make your life miserable. And then, yeah, you know, whatever comes with it. But
it's 16 weeks, not 10 weeks.
No. So like, it's dependent on your job, right? For some jobs, it's, you know, 10, 11 weeks. For more or less like infantry guys or gals, theirs, I believe, is 16 weeks. It's a little bit longer.
Jeez, dude. Yeah. So I want to go back to you saying, well, two things. One, you said you grew, like, you think anyone can benefit from going through like boot camp and base camp. But before we get there, you said before you went that you, I want you to highlight how you felt before you went. Like, were you nervous? Were you scared? Like, what did that feel like?
Bro, I wasn't scared, right? Like, again, and I really pertain that to my father and his father before him and the household I grew up in and, like, just that level of strictness, whatever, or, like, that kind of, like, military bearing. I wasn't scared, but I was nervous. You know, it's the unexpected. I learned quickly, especially in the military and like then getting into deployment and stuff like that. I get anxious, I get nervous and excited when it comes to change or adaptation, right? Or in a different world, environment, whatever it is. So I was nervous, right? I was excited, but I was definitely nervous as well. But I will say, you know, being one of the older guys or gals, whatever, because when I went to base training, I was with men and women. You do feed off the environment around you. You know, most people aren't 24 or older. Most people are 17, 18. And you're with 300 people at some points. It's like that 17, 18-year-old bawling their eyes out. And you're like, bro, why are you crying right now? Like, dude, you just left home 12 hours ago, dude. Like, it definitely has an impact, you know. Like, you definitely feel a little bit. You feel for them. So that can heighten that nervousness, that anxiousness once you get there. But leaving, man, you know, I believe me and you actually hung out like two nights prior or the night prior or whatever it was. I got my hair all cut off and we did one last draw, dude. And
you had a mane on your head.
I did. I saw a video actually of us in the car with Nate O. Agnew driving, bro, and us going to have some fun. But yeah, man, it's nerve wracking, but I'll give you an example. So when you get to basic training, you have an in-processing week, and then you go to, like, where you're going to be. You have an in-processing battalion, then you have, like, your battalion, your unit you're going to for the next 10 weeks.
Yeah.
In that in-processing week, they gave us a chance. They said, hey, if you want to call your family one last time, we'll give you your phone. They already took our phones. We'll give you your phone back so you can do that, right before we leave in-processing. My first thought was like, oh, no, heck no, this is a trick. But out of like 300 people, they made two lines. If you want to call, get in this line. If you don't want to call, get on this side. I was on the right line. Out of like 300 people, bro, there was only probably like 12 of us, 10 of us on the right line.
Yeah.
And sure enough, they let them call, but I thought for sure it was a trick, you know?
Yeah, they were messing with you guys.
But regardless, man, it's like, once you leave your in-processing battalion and they send you to your unit where you're going to be for the next, you know, 10 weeks or whatever, they give you one last phone call. I called Pops, wasn't calling Mom. She's going to start bawling her eyes out for no reason. And, you know, I'm a mama boy, so, you know, I love my mom. So I would have been like, oh, Mom, stop. So I just called Dad. They had like some, like a whiteboard, and it had like, you will call your family and you will say this. And it's like, hello, Mom, Dad, I am no longer your son. I'm a product of the United States Army, blah, blah, blah. I just called my dad. I was like, dad, this is crazy, dude. Like, you're freaking out. And I was like, I don't know when I'll get my phone back, but I'll call you when I do. If you don't answer, yeah, we'll have some serious issues, because I don't know the next time I'll call you. But yeah, man.
Dude, that's
nervous,
crazy.
Excited, all of it.
So they were standing behind, in front of you holding a whiteboard saying, this is what you're going to read?
No, they were standing there in front of us, but the whiteboard was, like, on the wall behind them.
Yeah.
So, like, you're supposed to just read it. But luckily, we had, like, space out a little bit. So, like, I was able to kind of, like, I didn't have that. I didn't read that. I just had. It used to be, though, before cell phones, they had the pay phones. And they would stand there on the pay phones in a line, and they would read that board. And the drills are just on. You better you're trying to like, oh, like.
That's hilarious. I didn't know that was a thing, dude. Dude, I remember, so when you finally graduated, like I had this idea for whatever reason that like the majority of people that go through just get like brainwashed and become like a different person. And I think maybe it happens to some people. And yeah. I wasn't sure if it was gonna happen to you. So I was like, oh man, is Mike going to be like different or whatever? And I remember seeing the video. I love this video. You graduating, you're like standing in line. You're like super stoic. And there was a camera on you. And I forget who had the camera on you. Like someone was recording with their phone, like a family member or something.
Yeah.
And you just kind of like look around. You see the camera and you just give a little wink.
Yeah.
Like letting everyone know you're good. It's like, yo, let's go.
Yeah, bro. Dude. Yeah. Somebody in the military is going to see this video and be like, where is this guy? I'm about to go. Yeah. He's getting work written up tomorrow. Oh, yeah, bro.
I don't want to get you in trouble.
People do. They turn robotic, man. They turn. It's genuinely like being in prison, bro. You become a pro. You can become, if you allow yourself, to be a product of the system.
Oh, I can't imagine. Hold on. I got to switch around because the sun's messing up the video. I can't. That was my thought process. I was like, dude, Mike's going to be a robot now. Like,
no, but you like know, bro, out of all of our people, and this ain't like tooting horns, this has not been good because it's got me, you know, firsthand, it's got me in bad situations. Maybe we'll talk about that, you know, now in another podcast. But like, I've never been one to like just, I'm not like a bad person, but like I don't do well with authority, right? There's a lot of people like that, and I've always like been a hothead. I've definitely matured a lot, bro. You know, like I've come a long way. But like, that's what my mom was worried about. But even my buddies I work with, man, because like, and I know you've heard a little bit, or in the past, you know, we've talked obviously, and like, I don't have the typical military career. I've done the cool stuff. I've done the deployments. I've done all that. Boom, boom, boom. You know, it's like. But where I'm at currently in my job and stuff, like I've been very blessed. But even in that, man, like I just can't, I'll never conform to the system. And it's not that I want to rebel, but I'm going to voice. I've definitely become significantly more mature in the fact of like actively listening, whatever it is. And I'm not just going, oh no, it's this way. This way is the best way. But man, if I used to be like that, right? Yeah. So I would butt heads with people, even if it wasn't the military, right? Like my way versus your way is definitely better. Now it's like, all right, let me hear you, make it make sense to me. Let's chop it up, right? But in the military, it's like you can do that and have those conversations. It doesn't have to be like boom, boom, and like throttle down on somebody to like excel. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
my style of leadership. You know, if I ever have a big group of soldiers under me again, or if I leave my current job, is going to be way different than like what people see in the movies or what people are used to or what that old school mentality is. And a lot of leaders in the military still have, man, you know, I don't think that's the best way to lead. Right. So,
I would agree 100%.
Yeah. I can't become a product of the system, bro. You know that, you know, but you can still really excel, man. And like, look out for your people and whatnot. I could go into detail about that all day, but nah, bro. You know I'm not the one you got to worry about when it comes to that. You know.
Yeah, it seems like it's a you do what you got to do to pass the test. You know, if like you got to shut up and take whatever, because you obviously can't rebel. You can't rebel against them in the moment.
Yeah.
But that mentality is still there. You're just doing what you got to do to pass the test.
Yeah.
And so then like, once you're done, it's like, okay.
That's a perfect way to say it too for basic training, right? Before you get to your unit. basic training, and that helped me. I knew I was going in to take it on the chin.
Yeah.
You know, and I knew that. So that helped me. And being older again, like, even if I wasn't the most mature at the time, like, I knew I was going there for 10 weeks and I was about to just get wrecked. And it just is what it is. You got to play the system. If you're that guy, that girl that, like, tries to bow up to the drill sergeants, bro, you're going to not just make your life hell. You are going to make all the other 39 of your lives hell. And it's like, I will tell you this, man, like, I have a picture, I believe it's on like my social media and stuff. It's one of the only ones still up, but it's a picture of four of my buddies from basic. And I'll be honest, man, basic's like college. The Army's like college. You say you're going to stay in touch, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But reality is like, you don't. And you got your select views like me and you, right? But I have a picture from my buddies with basic, bro. And we were tight, bro. When we graduated, because you go through that psychological warfare for 10 weeks. You don't have your phone. You don't have TV. You're just taking it on the chin. You're out in the field. You're tired. You're hungry. I fell asleep one night walking on a ruck march, on a foot march, because I hadn't slept in however many days. And, like, you really, like, you just know you got to roll with the punches and play the system, man. You know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, bro. Man. But once you get to your unit, it can be a little different, right? You still got your leadership. Like, I'm going to respect you, you know? But
We could go down so many different rabbit holes with that. But because I will say that's one thing. Like, so, like, this is a perfect example. Like, so from where Mike started when we were in college, like, freshman year. Like, I came into college super disciplined because I just was, like, gung-ho on being a CrossFit athlete. So I was just, like, laser-focused on that. Everything was centered around that. Mike came in, like, breakfast for him was ice cream cone and Coca-Cola. Like,
that was breakfast. Baby.
And I was eating an omelet with, like, oatmeal. I'm, like, carbing up. I'm, like, tracking my macros. It's like, we couldn't have been more opposite, right? And it's funny because, like, I definitely noticed, I mean, not only did I notice a change in you through college, but I noticed a huge change in you after the military for sure. Like, it definitely, I mean, just hearing you say the things you just said, like, obviously you mature as you get older and stuff, but, like, it was like a significant leap after you got out of the military, or you were in it and you were going through the things, like, you just changed, but for the better in a lot of great ways. And I'd love for you to highlight, like, why you said you think everyone should go through it, because I think I know what you're going to say, but I want to hear you say it.
Yeah, man, I just go back to, like, the skills, like you do for people that aren't physically challenged or are very sedentary on a daily, right? Like, or don't have structure in their life, or have never followed like a regimen as far as like at 6 I'm gonna do this, 7 I'm gonna do this. Like, just a daily structure, regimen, call it what you will,
yeah,
right? It really does help set a foundation, because you got no choice and you're doing it for several weeks on end, you know. And then just like the simple skills, you know, you really learn about yourself when you're in the field and you're hungry and you haven't eaten in 4 or 5, like, but you haven't slept in 4 or 5 days, and like you've barely eaten, you're really gonna learn a lot about who you are as a person. You know, and then basic skills. You learn basic like land navigation, right? If you're stuck out in the woods, what would you do? You know? Basic right. Survival skills, right? So how to get out, how to survive, start a fire, sharpen a knife. You know, why should I carry a knife? Down to the nitty gritty of firing a weapon for the first time. Somebody breaks into your home and you hear gunfire, are you just gonna freeze? Right, like simple things, right? Or like knowing how to handle a weapon, right? Like, especially in today's world, man, like people trying to take our weapons away. It's like, well, dude, like, again, I'm a big advocate. It's the person using them, right? And their motives, whatever. But like, do people know how to handle them properly? Like, you get it's only 10 weeks and you only shoot so much. I mean, you shoot a good bit, but like, it gives you an idea, man. It allows you to feel it. You understand what that thing can do. Yeah. You learn basic disciplines of, like, rifle safety. Like, don't point your muzzle at somebody. Simple things, right? When you're walking around, you're not just carrying it like this, you know? Like, just, like, life skills. I don't know, man. I just feel like for, like, life, it can really, really help you, you know? But then for people like me and you, what's up? For people like me and you, man, again, I go back to like becoming uncomfortable, become comfortable being uncomfortable. Like, you will learn a lot about yourself. Taking it forward to like when I was in New York for 5 years, bro, being out in the field in March with snow up to your knees on a weapon system guarding, you know, in a field exercise or training exercise, you know, just being dumped with snow at 2 a.m. in negative temperatures, bro. You go on a port-a-john to try to get warm.
Bro.
You're not warming up, but you're getting the wind off you. Bro, yeah. It's going, like, by definition, you're separating the boys from the men up there. Like, it sucks, bro.
Dude.
It's terrible. You know? So
yeah, I can imagine that.
I just, you got a 16-mile ruck, you know, in basic training, but your feet hurt, your back hurts, you got heat rash all over your body, so every move you make is terrible because it pulls, it feels like, you know, your salts crystallize on your skin. Like, what are you going to do? You're gonna quit, get in the back of the truck. Like, you know, it's just like, you just learn a lot about yourself, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So. Dude, honestly, in so many ways, I'm jealous of you. And I think you're absolutely right, man. People, you don't know what you'll do until you're in a situation like that.
Yeah.
And I think it's necessary, whether you do it to yourself or you're put into those situations by being in the military or whatever, I think it's necessary for people to go into those situations and actually be faced with who they are. And it doesn't mean you have to like who you are, but you're at least going to get to know who you are. And then you can figure out, okay, I want to change. I want to be different. Or I'm actually crushing this. I'm going to keep going, whatever it is. But you just don't know until you're pushed. And like for that, dude, I think, man, I'm honestly kind of jealous because I can't imagine being up at 2 a.m, negative temperatures. Bro. Like, I remember you told me these stories. I remember you telling me these stories. You'd have to stay up for hours on end, freezing cold. And I'm just like, bro, that sounds miserable.
6 p.m. to 6 a.m. just doing a field exercise training where I'm, you know, in March, just guarding this or on this weapon. Like, it's bro, it's miserable.
Yeah.
It was so cold one night that my outer layer was like doing like this in the wind, and then it just froze, bro.
It just
stopped. Moving. It froze up and got solid like this.
Yo, how is that possible? Was it wet?
Yeah, because yeah, it was still snowing. It was actively snowing. I see. It was negative whatever. And
I see.
With the wind, God, bro, it was just terrible.
Jeez, dude.
Yeah, man.
Well, now, I mean, fortunately, because that was during deployment. Or no, that was after deployment when you got stationed in New York.
No, right? That was before deployment when I was in New York before I left to on deployment.
Yeah, to Kandahar.
Yeah,
dude, I know this. You could go on and on about this too, but what was deployment like? Because not a lot of people get deployed.
Yeah, bro. Well, especially now. We're not deploying at that rate no more. Man, taking it back to basic, dude, I learned a lot about myself, and that I feel like I get nervous, I get anxious, but I strive and change. I feel like I can adapt quick. I don't know if it's just because I've been forced to or whatever, but like, or I just refuse not to, you know? Because if you don't, then it's going to be like basic's going to, like anything in life, but if you refuse to adapt, man, you're going to have a hard time, especially when you have to be somewhere and you have no choice, you know? Yeah, dude, we can talk about this all day. It was hard. It was so hard. You think it sets in before you leave and you're saying your goodbyes and, you know, your tears are coming down. Like, oh, I'll see you in 9 months, you know. But, man, when you get over there, whenever it hits for you, hits for me, hits for him or her, whatever, like, I think mine really sat in, like, you know, a month or 2 months. Like, holy shit. I can't go home for another 7 months, 6 months, whatever it is. So you make the most of it, man. Fortunately, what I was doing over there kept me really busy. We stayed out on mission. We stayed outside the wire a lot, rolling constant. It was the beauty to it too. I had no real world stressors. I didn't have to worry about pills. I didn't have to worry about whatever, you know. I can't even begin to describe it, but it's like I woke up or got off. I either woke up, hit the gym, went straight to mission, came back, did it all over again for 9 months, you know. It's like I just made the most of it. It was cool, man. There's a lot of, you know, nationals or like locals or people from other countries that were civilians over there that worked. So I made the most of it, man. You know, it was hard. One of the things that I feel like really saved me over there was most mornings, depending on our mission schedule, if we were rolling at night or whatever, the sunrise and the sunset over there is like something I've never seen.
I was going to ask you about that.
So, and where we were, I was in Kandahar, and where we were surrounded by these mountains. And dude, watching the sun rise, I would do my best to walk to the CrossFit gym on base over there.
Yeah.
It was like an old warehouse that I would train out of. I would do my best to walk while the sun was rising, man. And it was just so beautiful. And that was my time to just, like, I put my headphones in. At the time, you know, I was throwing in just whatever song, it like, just gets you, like, ready to ride in the morning. Not, like, to train, but, like, you know, it just makes you feel good, dude. Gets the juices flowing, you know. I would put that in, and I would walk to the gym. It would take me about 10 minutes to walk there. And it would make me smile, man. It would make me happy. It would just give me that sense of relief. And then same at nighttime, on Kandahar, there was we called it the boardwalk. It used to be a really, bussing, you know what I'm saying? As the kids say, base over there. And, so there's a boardwalk. You used to have like a bunch of little shops and restaurants on it for soldiers to eat, you know, and a bunch of the locals, random, whatever. We even had a turf field over there. They put on like flag football tournaments, basketball tournaments, stuff like that.
No way.
While I was out there busting up. People,
I know you like some flag football.
For
those of you who don't know, Mike's an All-American in flag football, like legitimately.
Yeah.
He was an All-American.
I'm trying to go to the Olympics, bro. I need somebody to see this, dude. I could make the Olympic team, dude.
Hey, we could try to get something.
Yeah, bro. But so at nighttime, when I had the opportunities to, wasn't as often, I would go to like this far corner of the boardwalk that was right beside the airfield on this base, which was right the corner, you know, the airfield, and then was the other mountain, like the other side of the bowl, the mountain range. And I would just watch the sun set, man, and like, dude, I'm getting chills thinking about it. I got set out. I just show people pictures, like, just the most clearest and pure, like, pink and blue cotton candy sky, right? That's what I would call it, that you could ever imagine. And you're in this just... Dude, you can't sugarcoat it, bro. You're just in this. Can you see me? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
You're in a shithole of a place, dude. Like, it's not a fun place to be. And then you just get this relief with this just beauty, and it's like, it's going to be all right. You're going to make it through these next 6 months to get home and see your family, to see your friends, to leave the house and go get a freaking energy drink at the gas station when you want to do it, because you can. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to be okay, you know? But that was me, dude, man. There's some people that really did not do good, you know? And I understand why, and they had to get sent back, a lot of psychological reasons and whatnot. But it was tough, man. And there's days, like, there's missions where you're supposed to roll out and be out there for 4 hours, and you get stuck out there for – you know, a day or two, and it's terrible. It sucks, bro.
Jeez.
But you make the most of it, man. You again, you bond with your boys, and you make it through, you know?
I'm going to say, I feel like that would be the most helpful thing, is you get really close with your guys. It's like that shared suck just makes it easier to get through it.
Yeah, dude, it's quite literally, you start laughing because of how shitty the situation is, bro.
There's no other way to cope with it. You're just trying to figure it out.
There's nothing else to do but laugh.
Yeah, I get that. That's funny. Dang, man. Well, dude, I mean, that's really incredible, dude. You've gone through something that not a lot of people will ever get to go through.
Yeah.
And it's made you a better person for sure.
Yeah, man.
I think, and I'd like to have you, like, when we do another episode, I want to talk more about, like, coming back, because now you're actually like training people physically. So now you're like literally a physical trainer.
Yeah, the big difference from like, not eating ice cream for breakfast.
Yeah, dude. It's like it could not be more of a 180.
Dude.
Like you didn't give an F about fitness. and now you're literally teaching people how to be as fit as humanly possible and doing a really good job.
I remember walking in to the gym on campus, bro, and I was like, you know, young and dumb, drinking in college. I would walk into the rec center that just hammered still.
Dude.
You know, like.
And I'd be getting off the rowing machine.
I don't even drink no more. You know, it's like, it's crazy, dude.
It is crazy, man. It's actually really incredible, dude. And I want to hit on that more when we do this again, but. So we'll wrap it up there for today because I know you got to get going anyways. But yeah, you guys, this has been podcast number 2, episode number 2 with Mr. Mike Mattis. Where can people find you at on Instagram? Because I know people are going to want to follow you.
Mikey Matt. Nobody's ever asked me that, dude. I feel so cool.
Hey. Hey.
Mikey Mattis. I don't know why I still have that as my name. MIKEYY _MATTSS.
Yeah.
I almost feel like you created my handle. I don't know where that came from. I think I created your handle back in the day, dude.
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about that.
You want to talk about that? You created...
Yeah, Mike, there was a nickname I had on campus that I did not give to myself.
It stuck.
It stuck. It blew my mind.
Some random class that we did not need to be taking, but we took it just to have an elective.
It was like pre-algebra.
No, dude, it was something random. And I remember sitting there and I just made it.
And dude.
It stuck, bro. Yeah. It ran like wildfire, brother.
Yeah, maybe we'll talk about that another time.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about, dude.
All right, dude. Well, I'm going to let you get going because I know you're going to pick up your kids. So you go do that. I appreciate your time today. Seriously. And for you guys out there listening, episode 3 will be dropped pretty soon. Be looking forward to that. This, again, was Mikey Mattis. Go follow him on Instagram. Appreciate y'all. Love you guys. We out.
Yes, sir.